All right, good morning. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, when you study a text from week to week and you go back, you know this, you students of the scripture, you go from week to week and you go back and read what you studied the previous week, and the Lord shows you more. Excuse me. And when you go to church and gather with the saints, here's one thing that should be a distinctive of attending a church where the Word of God is preached. When you walk out, you should not be confused about what you heard. You should have a clearer understanding of what God said in His Word from the text. So, that being said, that does not mean that sometimes we might lack understanding. Remember, God's word is not discovered, it's revealed. God reveals it to us. And so, if there's ever questions, please ask. But that being said, the text should be understandable to you. And so, as we go into 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll be in the center of the chapter, we're going to have a little review. Understand that there were things happening in this church by believers with gifts, and they were confusing the people. There were speakers saying things, and the hearers were saying, I don't understand what you're saying. And so that's where we're at. And of course, it has to do with the gift of speaking in unknown tongues, speaking with other tongues. And so that's what we're talking about today. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 14, 1. We'll pray, and then we'll go through briefly verses 1 through 12, and then we'll pick up in verse 13. So let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessing. I pray that you would visit us. Father, I pray you would speak to us. Lord, open up your word. As the psalm says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of your word. Reveal your word to us, Father. We know we have it on the printed page, but Lord, we need you to give us the sense of it. We need you, Father, to send your spirit among us. Give us understanding. Give understanding to the lost, those that are not Christians in here. That is our great desire, that they would come to know you savingly. And so, Lord, we look unto you. We trust you. And, Father, help us by your grace to fix our hearts upon thee in these few moments. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 14:1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, coming off of 13, follow after or pursue charity. Charity meaning agape love, that love that does not originate in the world. He's telling them, let it be the motivation for all you do in your Christian life, this love. Love should be our motivation. Especially, he's going to teach them, and I'll show you this, especially when you gather together for public worship. Desire spiritual gifts, Paul tells them, but not for the sake of showing off the gift. We should never desire to possess a spiritual gift to be used of God, i.e. preaching, to show off. It's not to show off, it's to expound the truth of God's word, to give the sense to the people, to give them understanding. This chapter is, in a sense, I think, a rebuke to the church at Corinth, plain and simple. Now, there was an insatiable desire among the people to speak in tongues in the church. And this was a genuine spiritual gift. I'm not telling you that this is a gift that should be disparaged or cast aside. It was a genuine gift. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. But we need to define what that gift is. And I hope we'll be able to do that today. See, there were those in the Corinthian church that desired the gift, but they were not motivated by love to Christ. And their motivation was not that the church would be edified. Their motivation was, look at me, I'm speaking in tongues. And so Paul said, it's a wrong use of the gift. To them, it was self-exalting. It was self-serving. It was, look at me. And that should never be a reason why we do anything in the church. Our motivation should be love to Christ, that God would get the glory. It should be, no, look at Christ, don't look at me. Now, God gifts people in his church. Now, In chapter 14, Paul spoke of only two gifts in this chapter. He spoke of prophesying and tongues. Now, before we go too far, I want to show you a distinct difference in the experience that happened in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost and what was happening in the church here in Corinth. Turn back to Acts 2. I want to show you something because it's very different. It's the same, but it's different. I'll let you deduce from your own minds as we read. Now, we know that this was the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We'll start in verse 4. And there were the 120 gathered. There were the apostles. And it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Notice here, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what that means is God gifted those men right then and there to speak in different languages. Now, here's the difference. Notice, it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, what we know about different nations is what? They speak different languages. Let's go on. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own native language. Now, you get that? They heard them with understanding. In other words, it wasn't something that they didn't understand. They didn't need an interpreter. The Spirit of God gave the apostles the ability to speak the language of those nations, of those people there. And this is a sign that the gospel will go out into all the world, to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, in every language. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? It's like saying, they're all from Springfield. There's no way this could happen. But I want you to see, they're Galileans, but we hear them and we understand what they're saying. And he says, and how do we hear, verse 8, how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, in our own language? Notice, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia, in Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak intelligibly. And you know why I know they knew what they said? Because he says, we do hear them speak in our tongues or in our language the wonderful works of God. They heard the gospel. They understood precisely what they were saying. So understand that here at Pentecost, the speakers were given the ability by the Spirit of God to speak fluently in the languages of the different people dwelling at Jerusalem, who were from many foreign nations. Those foreigners from every nation understood every word. They understood exactly what they said. Wow, we hear the wonderful works of God in our own native tongue. Now, when you go to Corinth, in contrast, the speakers were speaking in languages which no one in the church could understand. So someone would stand up and speak in a language, and everybody would go, I don't know what they're saying. So Paul's emphasis from last week was, this is not edifying to the church. It's not at all edifying to the church. If you do have this miraculous gift, you're exercising it in the wrong way, is what he's telling them. It's a rebuke to them. Now look at verse 2. Let's pick back up in Acts. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14:2. It's important that you understand this because, listen, you're going to come across Christians, professing Christians, that also profess that they can speak with other tongues and that this is a second gift that's given to you after that you've been given the Holy Ghost. Listen, when God saves you from your sins, you receive the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is in you. But there are many that will say, well, did you speak with other tongues? And they'll speak this gibberish, this chaotic gibberish that means nothing. That's not what the gift of tongues was. Follow with me, verse 2. Of course, Paul says, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Remember, he's exalting prophesying above tongues. And he gives the reasons. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he's speaking mysteries or truths from God, but the hearers don't understand. It's like he understands. It's like speaking in another language. I understand between me and God what I'm saying, but nobody else does. So what good am I going to do to the church if I stand up here in Spanish and preach to you? You'll all sit there and, I mean, you won't know what I said. Follow me. So if you speak in an unknown tongue, there's no edification. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. In other words, those that prophesy, they open the scriptures up and they teach the scriptures, or they witness or testify of the gospel in the native tongue of the people here. They actually edify the church. The church is helped. But we're not helped if we don't understand what you're saying. If I come up here and preach an entire message in a language that you don't know, you'll walk out and you'll go, guy's off his rocker. I mean, he needs to speak in our language. Or we need somebody to interpret it for us. Paul says, verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, look at those two he's. See, it says, greater is he that prophesieth, notice, than he that speaketh with tongues, three he's actually, and notice, except he interpret. So I think what Paul's saying here is, if he's going to speak in an unknown or foreign tongue, he needs to, as we'll see in a moment, pray that he can interpret it for the church. In other words, you need to be able to tell everyone what you're saying. Let me give you an example. Andreas Galavis, our missionary, y'all know him. Many of you know him. Many of you don't know him. He's from Aguascalientes, Mexico, in the province of Chihuahua. What a name. He speaks and preaches in Spanish. He's a Spanish-speaking pastor. He's preached here before. He cannot preach in English. He can get by in English, conversing with you if you know him, but he cannot preach in English. But he preached here. And you say, how did he do that? Well, Joe Ortega was standing right here, who was both Spanish-speaking and English-speaking, and he translated for the church. So when we were preaching, we'd look at Andreas, he'd preach, we'd look at Joe. We'd look at Andreas, we'd look at Joe. So we understood what he was saying. That's a biblical interpretation. The church was edified. Some of you that were here, you remember that. So now, beloved, verse 6, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, i.e. in your own language. And even things without life, Paul uses the example of music, even things without life, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Tom didn't just come over here and bang on the keys. He played distinct sounds. He played songs that we know, and we knew how to sing based on the song he played. So music instruments give distinct sounds that are understandable. They're intelligible. Paul goes on, verse 8, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Of course, we talked about that. The trumpets used, or the bugle calls are used in the military, and certain calls mean certain things. And we're trained to know that. So likewise, Paul said, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? I mean, that's pretty plain and simple, right? For you shall speak into the air. In other words, if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, an unknown language, and nobody knows what you're saying, you might as well be talking into the air because nobody understands you. Then he says in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And notice, this is important, and none of them is without signification, meaning none of them is without meaning. So if someone stands up here and speaks in an unknown language that we don't know, his language has meaning, but we don't know what it means because we don't know the language. We need somebody to interpret. Therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, means a foreigner. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, I don't know what he's saying. Even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, Corinthian church, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Whatever your gift is, if it's not edifying to the church, if the church is not benefiting, if the people aren't being taught the truths of God, if they're not being helped in their Christian life, then be quiet. And that's what the gifts are. God gifts those for the edification and building up of the church. So understand, beloved, if you gather together for public worship and speakers begin to speak in unknown tongues or foreign languages, how is anybody in the church going to be helped? They're not. The difference, again, in what happened at the church of Corinth and what happened at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, those hearers from many nations understood precisely what the apostles and those others that spoke at Pentecost said. We hear the wonderful works of God in our own native language. So in Acts chapter 2, no one was confused. No one was saying, I don't understand. But in the church at Corinth, there was confusion. There were speakers speaking in tongues and languages which no one understood. And Paul told them, this is not beneficial. It's not edifying to the church. The one who speaks in a foreign language that no one understands is edifying no one but himself. He's the only one that knows what he's saying. And again, brethren, that's why Paul exalted the gift of prophesying above the gift of tongues. Remember, we talked about what prophesying is then and now. In that time, God was still giving new revelation. God was giving revelation even in this letter that Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He was giving new revelation. Paul was writing the word of God. They did not have the New Testament in the time of the Corinthian church. So Paul's writing. So prophesying was different then. Now prophesying, beloved, you prophesy if you're a Christian, you should. Remember we talked about that? And what is prophesying? It's telling people what's going to be in accordance with the truth of God's word. You can tell the future. Not like some hocus pocus prophet. You can go to the scriptures and say, this is what's going to happen. That's why you need to flee from the wrath to come. You need to turn from your sins to Christ because Jesus Christ is going to return. That's prophesying, witnessing, pointing people to Christ. It's revealing truth that's already in our laps. We have the complete canon of the scripture. There is no more new revelation. So if somebody speaks with tongues and say, I got a new revelation from God, it's not true. They don't. We have the complete canon of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And so, beloved, that's the point of this first section. So now Paul gives instructions. What we haven't talked about is the one that does speak in an unknown tongue. If you're going to speak in an unknown tongue in the church, in the time of the Corinthians, you also need to be able to interpret so they can understand. Now, what is interpret? It means to translate. It means to explain. It means to expound. In other words, if you're going to speak things that we don't understand, and preaching is even that, giving the sense of what you said. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14:13, look at it. Paul said, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So he says, you can speak in another language and speak the truths of God. Ask God to give you the gift of interpretation as well, that you may be able to interpret it. You know, there are some that may understand two languages, but they have difficulty listening and translating. And so Paul said, you need to be able to interpret and translate for the people so that they will know what you're saying. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14:13, Paul exhorted those who were given the gift of tongues, again, to pray. So I want to emphasize that, double emphasize that. Notice in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about interpretation here. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, think about this and put your thinking caps on. If there was an interpreter present to translate and expound the foreign language of a speaker, Joe Ortega and Andreas Galaviz, the example I gave, Spanish-speaking pastor, none of us speak Spanish. He's a man of God, pastor, been pastoring for several years, good brother in Christ, so I wanted him to preach. Joe Ortega came, and Joe speaks Spanish and English, so he would translate for us. So he was here. Now, what just happened if that happened? Now, think about it. Now we had someone speaking with another tongue, a foreign tongue, and the church was able to understand the truths of God because it was translated into our own language, and the church was edified. See, now you're actually prophesying. Now you're beneficial. Now you're profitable to the church, and the people of God are helped. So you see, tongues was made useful to the church. It wasn't just speaking an unknown tongue and nobody knew what you were saying. And so, beloved, that's what happened when Andreas came. But let me remind you of the distinction, beloved, in prophesying and tongues. Again, remember that prophesying is receiving no new revelation. And you'll hear people today saying, God has revealed something new to me. There is nothing new under the sun. The wise man says that in Ecclesiastes. There is nothing new. What we have in our laps is all of the revelation. It's the revealed will of God, and it's what we have. Now, verses 14 to 20. So we know Paul rebuked the church for their lack of love in chapter 13. Now he rebukes them for their spiritual immaturity in their desire for the gift of tongues to be showy. Look at verse 14. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now what that means is my understanding produces no fruit. It doesn't benefit others because they don't understand me. So that's what he means. It's not that he doesn't understand himself. He understands himself, but it bears no fruit in the congregation. I'm talking in a language, speaking in a language that no one understands. So if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Or what do I do? Paul says, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So you see his reasoning? You can't participate as a member of the body of Christ in a church service where you don't understand the language. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So the person that's speaking in a foreign tongue gives thanks. He's edified, but no one else is because they don't know what he said. Verse 18, Paul says, I quoted this already. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but an understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Now we're going to go there in a moment. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are a sign. Now get this, tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Now, again, Paul is rebuking the church at Corinth, and he's telling them, again, if you're going to preach in an unknown tongue, you need an interpreter. And there needs to be the gift of interpretation. But listen, notice verse 20, Paul tells them that they're spiritually immature. Once again, we talked about that in chapter 13. But notice in verse 20, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men, be grown up, mature. See, they were more interested in exercising the gift of tongues that they might call attention to themselves rather than speaking the truth in love so that the church might be edified and that Christ would get all the attention. See, all the attention needs to be directed towards Christ and not toward us. To speak in a foreign tongue without interpretation was of no profit to the church, unfruitful, as we saw in verse 14. Again, Paul said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. But in verse 19, to show that this is teaching about a gathering and a church service, in verse 19 he says, yet in the church I rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others. Now, verse 21, Paul cites an Old Testament prophecy. And he cites this, I think, to warn the people at the church at Corinth. I'm not completely sure of the correlation, but I think I got a little hint. And so we'll look at this. Go actually to Isaiah chapter 28. So Paul cites an Old Testament prophecy. And this is a prophecy in which the people of Israel were warned of a judgment that would be against them for refusing to hear God's word. And you know that, you read the Old Testament, you can see that the people would not hear. The word hear in the Hebrew means to obey, to hear and heed, to obey the word of the Lord. So God would send his prophets to the people. He'd say, thus saith the Lord, and he'd give his commands. And in many instances, and you know, reading through the Old Testament prophets, they refused. They wouldn't do what the prophet said. They were rebellious and disobedient. And so Paul used this example in the Old Testament to warn the church at Corinth that it was judgment against the people of God for God to send those among them that spoke in a language that they could not understand. Now, it's not saying that tongues is bad, but it was judgment to the people of Israel that God would send among them people that were of a foreign tongue that they could not understand. Look at Isaiah 28, 9. Isaiah 28, 9. Now understand, the Lord warned Israel by the prophet Isaiah. Basically what he's saying is, if you will not heed God's word being clearly spoken to you by my prophet in your own native language so that you can understand it, if you won't hear the prophet, if you won't hear my word, God will send judgment upon you in sending a foreign nation and foreign people to invade your land who will speak and teach you in words that you will not be able to understand. So y'all understand that? They refuse to hear the word of the Lord in their own native tongue from their own prophets, and God says, I'm going to send people that you won't understand. Look at Isaiah 28 and verse 9. 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that is from the prophet. And notice the last words of verse 12, yet they would not hear. Now turn to Jeremiah 5:15 as a cross-reference, and we'll look at Deuteronomy. Jeremiah 5 and verse 15. Basically, you won't hear the plain language of your own prophet. I'm going to send a people among you to invade your land that you won't understand. Jeremiah 5:15. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. A nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Now, to clear it up a little more, go to Deuteronomy 28. So you see what God's doing to them, to Old Testament Israel, to the people of God in the Old Testament, because of their disobedience and refusal to heed the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 28, this is a short section in the curses that shall come upon the children of Israel when they heed not the prophets of the Lord, nor his truths. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. So understand that this confusing or this foreign language that would come upon the people of Israel in the Old Testament because they would not heed God's word, it was judgment against them. Now, Paul inserts that right here in the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And so it's a warning. I'm not completely certain of the breadth of the warning, but he's warning them about a misuse of this spiritual gift. And then he writes in verse 21 there, he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And so that's a consideration in the misuse of this gift. So understand, beloved, the gift of tongues was not given so that the church might become more chaotic and confused, but that the gospel might go forth clearly and plainly into every nation and language in the world, and that it might be understood to all who hear it. Tongues doesn't exist like this anymore. It's not supernatural. There are none that God gifts. Those gifts have ceased. The reason the gift was around then was to authenticate the message that the messenger was true. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, Jesus Christ, he was among you. He was approved by signs and wonders and miracles, which he did in your midst. The miracle certified that he, in fact, was the Messiah. Same in the apostolic age. These miracles certified that these men were sent of God. And they were writing the word of God in this time. So Paul makes a correlation here between a church service in which one stands up to speak in an unknown or foreign tongue, which no one in the church understood, to what was judgment to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. See, God told them, since you refuse to hear my word, I will send people to you who will speak with other tongues, words that you will not understand. So this was punishment to the children of Israel. Now, Paul was not teaching them that tongues was a curse. It was a gift from God. You need to understand that, for the propagation of the gospel. But by their misuse of the gift from God, they were turning what should have been a blessing and for the edification of the church, if one interpreted, into something that did not profit the church at all. And so understand that. And I know I'm giving you a lot of information, so I'm going to close right here at verse 22 to 24. And that's with the sign. Notice, tongues are a sign, verse 22, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? I mean, if somebody comes in and people are speaking in all different languages, they'll say you're mad, and they'll leave, and they probably won't come back. But if all prophesy, and of course this is not all at the same time, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned in the scriptures, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. In other words, he's made to understand the truths of God in his own native language. See, he's convinced. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, so that falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. See, the word of God will be preached clearly. Charles Hodge, I'll quote him, said this: when people are disobedient to the word of the Lord, God sends them teachers whom they cannot understand. When they are obedient to God's revealed will, he sends them prophets speaking in their own language. Consider this regarding the sign of tongues, both to unbelievers and believers. From this text, and from what we learned from Isaiah and Jeremiah and from the book of Deuteronomy, listen, unintelligible teachers, or those that speak with other tongues in a church where they don't understand it, they're sent to people who have heard the word of God, but they obstinately refuse to obey it. And that's what happened in Old Testament Israel. But God sends his messengers that speak and prophesy the word of the Lord so as to be understood to those who believe the truths of God. Listen, verse 33 in this chapter, God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. Gathering with the saints on the Lord's day should not make you more confused about the gospel of Christ, but the truths of God should become more clear. They should be communicated and spoken clearly so that you might understand and believe the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unintelligible tongues will drive sinners away. Now, some people just, it's like the same sin exists in churches today because people think it's self-exalting to speak in an unknown tongue, which what they do today is not biblical at all. It's a voice that has no signification. And if they say God revealed something new to me, they're lying. God didn't reveal anything new to them. We have the complete revealed will of God right here in the complete canon of Scripture. And so you need to understand, beloved, what Paul's saying here. It's not that tongues was bad in the time of Corinthians. No, it wasn't. It was a gift that was misused. It was a gift that was desired because it was very showy. But Paul said, I'd rather that you prophesy. I'd rather that you exercise a gift and desire a gift to where the people would be edified and that they would be pointed to Christ and that you would speak to them plainly and that they would understand what you're saying. not that you would speak in an unknown tongue and then think they'd be edified. They're not. And so understand that unintelligible tongues will drive sinners away. Clear and understandable preaching, prophesying, testifying of the gospel, witnessing will point sinners to Christ. We don't want people to be more confused. We want them to be less confused. We want them to understand. Now, I realize there's people that are going to say, I don't understand the gospel, and we have to explain the substitutionary death of Christ. We need to explain what happened on the cross. We need to explain the wrath of God against his only son for sinners. We explain those things, like Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch when he opened up the scripture and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, I can't except someone would guide me, translate, expound, interpret for me. And Philip did. And he listened to what Philip said. He pointed him to Christ, and the eunuch believed, and he was baptized. And so, beloved, that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come together, God's not the author of confusion. There's not a whole bunch of chaotic things going on and a whole bunch of people speaking in unknown tongues. No, we're speaking by course, in order, speaking the truths of God in our own native tongue. And that's what the church service should be. So we'll stop right there because I know I loaded you up with a lot of stuff. Please ask questions if you don't understand something. I don't understand everything here, not even close, but I pray the Lord will give us understanding and that we would have a right view of these supernatural gifts, which were still active in the time when Paul wrote the letter to the first Corinthians, or to the Corinthians. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd help us, Father, to understand. I know a lot of material from your word went out this morning, but I pray, oh God, that, Father, we would be faithful to open your word and to expound it, Father, to give the sense and meaning of the word of God to your people. And Lord, I pray that we would know when a spiritual gift may be a false spiritual gift, or Father, when something is going on that is not from your revealed will. Help us, Lord, to study the scriptures, to show ourselves approved unto you. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to know the truth of your word. Help us to be like the Bereans who studied the scriptures to know whether those things that were spoken by the apostles were actually true. Lord, we have the complete canon of scripture. Father, help us to be students of the word. Lord, help us to know what we believe. Lord, I never want us to be a people that simply believe something because I said it. Lord, we must have, each of us must have our own faith in Christ, and we must know what we believe about your gospel and about your truths. So help us, Lord. Help every soul here. I pray for the lost, if there's any lost among us, that you would speak to their souls. Draw them into thy kingdom, and we'll give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.